Hello, my name is Angelica.
My name is Joseph Nunez.
And this is our testimony, or how we come to Christ.
So in 2015, my mom, she was diagnosed with stomach cancer. And she only lasted 2 months after being diagnosed. And during that time that my mom was going through that suffering and death, right, that she went through, I started thinking about a mass that I had in the floor of my mouth that needed to be taken care of. After seeing the excruciating pain that she suffered, I didn't want to have to go through that as well. So I decided to go to have this thing checked out. Now, this mass that was in the floor of my mouth was about the size of a golf ball. So actually, about 20 years before, I had this little lump in the floor of my mouth. What it was, the doctor told me, I had gone to the doctor, and they said that it was a clogged salivary gland. So that usually, he told me that usually comes about when people who smoke. And so at the time, I did smoke. I was in the Army, and I did smoke cigarettes, and I did drink. So, and I had my time, you know, through those 20 years where I would quit and then where I picked it up again. So when I decided to go to the doctor wanted to do a biopsy. At that point, I wasn't smoking on a regular. I would smoke maybe on the weekends when I would have some drinks, you know. So I went to have the biopsy and it came back as benign. So the doctor said, why don't we just go forward and have this thing removed? It would not be a big deal. I'd be out within the same day. So on April 23rd in 2016, I decided to go ahead and have this mass removed from the floor of my mouth. And at the time I was dating my now wife, Angelica, and we were, you know, she was gonna go with me and you know, give me a ride home and whatnot. So we went together to the doctors and the doctor, you know, prepped me up and did the surgery. But when I woke up, he came to me and he approached me with fear and he was really scared. And he says, oh my gosh, Joe, it's cancer. And I'm like, what? So I'm still in my groggy mind, still trying to, you know, get my senses. And I'm like, what are you talking about, doctor? In fact, he said that, well, I'm not an oncologist, but I know it's cancer because I had it tested while you were asleep. I had this mass tested because it was a gooey substance and I'm not familiar with it. So it came back as cancer. So the first thing I asked was, how bad, what stage is this? He goes, it's through your whole chest cavity. Joe, I have a friend in MD Anderson. I want you to go see him. Now the thing is, he left at that point. And I'm like, thought I was gonna get some information about what to do thereafter, but I didn't. So I got sent back to my room after after recovering, and I went back to my room and he had already had not just my then girlfriend, but all my family members there to greet me in the room to let me know that I'm dying. And I was kind of like freaking out because it's like, it reminded me of a movie I had seen where Eazy-E was, and I don't watch these kind of movies anymore, but the funny thing is that I had seen a movie like that where this guy's being told he has, he's gonna die, right? But Eazy-E died of AIDS. Obviously that was not me, but the thing of it is, nonetheless, it's death. And so, you know, you get this bad news and it's what a wake-up call. You know, you haven't even processed this in your mind and you've got everybody looking at you like you're a dead man. So I had to ask family members not to put it on Facebook, but they had already done it. And I'm like, you know, let me process this. Let me figure out where I'm supposed to go with this, you know? So anyway, we got released from the hospital. I go home, I sleep, give me some medicine. I slept through to the next day. And the next day I wake up with this fat tongue and I'm like, okay, what do we do now? You know, like, I'm like, okay, am I going to be stuck like this with a fat tongue forever? You know, like it's a weird thing to, you know, that in itself was freaking me out. Can you imagine having some surgery thereafter beyond what I just did? You know, so I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to go to MD Anderson and they're going to tell me what kind of surgeries and what I need to do. And I don't know where this is going. It just sounds very bad. And so when I was home, I asked Angelica, I said, what did the doctor say? When's my appointment? What do we do now? And she says, I don't know. He didn't give me no information. So we were just like, okay, let's contact, it was the weekend, so let's contact the doctor on Monday. But I had this anxiety, like, I don't know what to do. There's this thought happened to come up where, why don't we call the preacher from the church we were going to? And I've been going there off and on for years, you know, and so I expected that they would come running or, you know, call me back at least, but that didn't happen. So talk about feeling like you're at the end and you don't know what to do. I'm like, Lord, and this is where I grab a Bible. I'm like, you know, it wasn't, I can laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny then. I did not know what the next step was. I didn't know the doctor was going to call me back, or did I have to set up an appointment or where to go from here. And on top of that, my church was not returning my calls. And so Angelica and I were discussing some things. I think from this point, we went on to Houston, did we not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is his version of the testimony. And mine was more, I guess, dramatic. Because all I remember, you know, and I remember vividly as this happened right now, the doctor just storming in the room where I was waiting for Joseph. And he came in, you know, barging. And then all he told me is like, oh my God, it's cancer. And then I'm like, what? Okay, you have to understand that when I didn't know anything about Christ, because I grew up, you know, in religion, I was Catholic. And yes, we were trying to, you know, go to church when we were living together, because we were living in sin. He said, we're going to go to church. And I said, okay. And he said, but we're going to go to a Christian church, and you might think it's weird, but we're going to be going to Christian church. And since, you know, Catholics, we just really don't believe in anything, you know, religious and stuff. So I said, okay. So we started going to church. And, you know, it was a couple of months that we were there before all of this. So anyway, so then the doctor comes in and tells me, oh my God, it's cancer. And when I heard that word, I didn't hear cancer. I saw and I heard death. All I heard was like, he's dead. And seeing his mom, she died so quickly. She was diagnosed in October, and by December she was gone. So I had that reference. So I was looking at that like, oh my God, what's gonna happen to me now? He is dead. So then he tells me, yeah, call, you know, whomever. So I call his grandma, and then everybody showed up. And yeah, when they bring him in, you know, we're all just there looking, because we all know that, okay, cancer kills. When they diagnose you with cancer, you know, everybody gets cancer. So we were just there, and then we went home, and we couldn't get a hold of the doctor. We couldn't get a hold of anybody in the church. Their explanation later on was that because they thought we weren't members of the church, so that's why they didn't feel an obligation to reach out to us. So during that time, you know, I didn't even know, because we were going to church, you know, just a check mark, like we're good people, we're going to church and
pay our tithes,
you know, doing the protocol of a Christian, you know, we're doing good. But then, you know, on the weekend, we will go drinking, we will go dancing, we will have fights, and we had no intention of serving God or knowing God or anything that had to do with God. We just wanted to go to church, you know, and that's it. The last ones to get in and the first ones to get out. So that was the Christianity we were living. So anyway, so when we couldn't find an outlet, we couldn't find the doctor and the preacher, nobody was answering our calls. And the whole week goes by and we're just like not speaking about it, but in our back of our minds, we were meditating on it all the time. I was just, you know, thinking, oh my God, this man is gonna die. What's gonna happen to me? What are we gonna do? And you know, I was like a clock that is ticking, you know that it's coming, it's a time bomb. So anyway, so then I was watching TV and, you know, my soap operas, because I'm Mexican. So we were watching that, and then, you know, he kept pacing back and forth. And I'm just looking at him like, can you please sit down? I'm missing it. And then he's like, oh, you know what? I'm not sick. And then I look at him like, okay, he's lost his marbles. You know, I'm like, yeah, I was there and I know exactly what the doctor said. So yeah, you have cancer. And then he was like, no, seriously, I'm not sick. And I'm like, okay.
We had the recording. She goes, I have the recording. I said, oh, you recorded it? The conversations with the doctor, right?
Yes, yes. I always record because, you know, I forget things. But anyway, so then he keeps telling me that and I'm like, okay. And then he said, no, in the Bible says that I'm not sick. And then he's like, storming off. And then he goes and brings the Bible. I didn't even know he carried a Bible and we were living already for like a year. So anyway, so he brings out the Bible and then he reads Isaiah 53:5. And then he said, this says right here. It says right here. Look. And then I'm like, okay, give me that. So then I look and I hold the Bible and then I'm like, okay, wait a minute, wait a minute. It says here that by his stripes, you're healed. I was like, you're healed. So at that point, you know, I felt something spark in my heart. You know, I just felt it. I felt faith. Because one of the things that Catholics we do have is we have a lot of faith, but we have it in the wrong place. But, you know, to me, when I read that, I'm like, okay, this is the Bible. God wrote this. So it is true. So I was like, so what are you worried about? You know, you're healed. And then after that, you know, that's the moment that our transformation started to happen, okay? So we started watching TV, you know, the Christian channels now. I gave away the soap operas. I didn't miss them. And we started watching, and then there was this advertisement about a conference, a healing conference. So then I said, Joseph, we gotta go there. So we made our way to the conference, and then that's, you know, the breaking point of our testimony. But I think you have something to say just with
that. Yeah, so the thing is that we had made a trip to MD Anderson. We actually got the information to go to MD Anderson, so, and we made a trip up there. And but we went up there with no paperwork. The doctor didn't give us anything. So we get up there, and the doctor's like, well, your doctor would not have sent you up here unless there's something really wrong. And so he goes, I'm gonna send you to go get an MRI, and then we're going to take a look at that. But here's what's going to happen. From what I can tell, what the doctor had, your doctor had told me, we're going to do this kind of surgery that's going to go from your ear to the floor of your mouth, to the bottom of your jaw. And Joe, he goes, you're going to have to learn how to swallow again. And I'm like, well, doctor, does that mean I'm going to have to, does that mean I could drown in my own spit? He goes, Joe, you need to quit worrying about small things like that. I'm like, what? Small things like that? He goes, it's going to be life-changing, but it's to save your life. And he went on to say that you're going to have to learn how to speak again because you're going to have atrophy in your tongue. And we're going to put a tracheotomy in your throat, and then we're going to put a feeding tube in your side. And then he goes, you're going to have some radiation. So this is going to go on for about 2 months. So he goes, but Joe, I'm going to let you know, this is experimental. I mean, like, this, we've never seen a thing like this. So it's we may get in there and just find scar tissue. I'm just going to let you know right now. And that did not make me feel good, right? That I'm going to go through all this trauma and he might find scar tissue. I guess he was expecting me to agree and say, okay, whatever we need to do. It didn't sit right in my heart. So that's when we went home. But the meantime, we were talking about how my wife was recording the conversation. I did not even know she was doing that. So I'm glad she did, because when we went home, we started debating on whether or not I was going to listen to the doctor or not. And that's when we got into the word. I brought the word. I said, look, I'm not sick. I recall the doctor going, don't you kind of feel a little sick? Don't you feel a little under the weather? And I'm like, no. I guess I was supposed to agree with that. I was like, I don't feel sick. And there's something in me that says, you know what? I'm not going to let somebody put that on me for me to agree with. I hadn't really been living right with God, but something in my heart said, you know what? Don't agree with that. So that's why I got the Bible out and I showed Angelica what it says, you know? So that was, yes, she's right. So that was the beginning of our walk with God, right? So we did see an advertisement, there was an advertisement, and it was Kenneth Copeland It was he was doing one of those conferences they do every year in Fort Worth, actually, and his wife Gloria does this healing school at the end. So we were able to make it for the healing school, right? Because it's during the week and I was working. So we get up, that's when we get up there to the healing school. But we were watching the Kenneth Copeland's ministry at that point. Man, we were doing like everything. Like he was teaching, the anointing. He taught about the anointing oil. Mm-hmm. And then he taught about, the covenant where you take the bread and the wine.
Mm-hmm. So the communion.
And then, you know, so we were like, there's healing. I was learning. I was like, I didn't know you can get healed doing communion. I'd never heard of such a thing. And then, you know, we're learning some things. And we're like, okay. So we're sitting in our bedroom. I said, Angelica, I need you to anoint me with some oil and pray for me. And then let's do the communion. We're doing all of it, man. So we're learning some things. And then we got to the healing school. And, you know, that was great. You know, we got in there and it felt like, you know, faith, man. It was like, it was thick in that place, you know, in that conference. It was thick. And they were praying. It was like, those people that are addicted to drugs, broken off right now. The ones that are addicted to alcohol, broken off right now. And I remember standing there and I'm like, uh-oh, because I like to drink, you know, and I didn't want to give that up. But I'm like, it's gone. I just knew. I mean, the faith was so thick that I just knew that it was over. That thing, that part of my life that I enjoyed, it was over. And so it's almost like I didn't have a choice. I mean, you know, in some sense, it was like it was broke. When he says broken, it was broke. I knew it was broken. So that meant the desire was gone. And so I just remember that we were having that. But the thing is, Kenneth Copeland was walking around praying for people. And I'm like, man, we're in the middle of the stadium locked in and we can't get out there and get prayer. And I'm thinking, man, am I going to be that woman with the issue of blood trying to get on my knees to beg to touch Kenneth Copeland? And I'm like, man, that's ridiculous. I can't, even if I try to do that, I probably get trampled on. So, you know, but I told Angelica, I said, look, you know what? One way or another, we're not leaving here until I get something. Either I'm getting 100% healed, I'm going to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Something's going to happen. We are not leaving here until I get something. So that afternoon, they broke the conference. So they took a break for lunch. And we came back that night. And I still have that mentality. I am not leaving here without something. And I know people say that, but I'm really literally meant it. So we get in the... It's kind of weird because we were going to get locked into those stadium seats where we couldn't really get close. But we got invited to go sit where a lot of the handicapped get sat. There was some extra seats in the front. And I'm like, well, pretty cool. We got moved up, man. We got the upgrade, right? So we're happy with that, right? Well, we got the upgrade, man. So then one of the daughters of Kenneth Copeland says, does anybody here not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost but wants it? And then Angelica goes, because I knew what that was, the Holy Spirit, but I didn't, with her background, I wasn't sure she knew anything about the Holy Spirit. She goes, well, what is that? I'm like, well, it's the Holy Ghost. She goes, well, I want it. I was like, okay, you know, like, you know, but she goes, all right, let's raise your hands. I'm like, okay, but I'm just thinking in my mind, I'm like, well, we're way back. We're here. But it's still a long walk to the front of the stage. And so I'm like, it feels like you're getting saved all over again. That public announcement where you're having to raise your hand and let everybody know that you're, you know, you want to accept Jesus. And so I humbly, man, I raised my hand. She raised her hand and we walked. They said, come on with us, come to the front. We walked that long. It felt so long, but we walked all the way to the front. And they said, they took us to not just us, but some other people. And they took us to another room to pray with us. And that's when Angelica and I had this godly encounter, and it just changed our life from that point on. So so I know some people, I don't want to, you know, I don't ever give man praise, but I am grateful for that ministry, because that ministry was there during the time that we had a need. And so I'll let you tell your part of the testimony.
Okay, yes. So my version of all of this, remember, I was raised Catholic because you're born into it, right? That's what your parents do, so this is what you do. And rosaries and praying to the Virgin, yeah, I was a master on that. But I did not have that heart or that understanding of who God was. So when we went to the conference, as soon as I walked in, I felt something strange, but my spirit knew. So I walk in there and I started feeling like things that I never felt before, that this love. And I was like somebody was hugging me. And then, you know, the smell, I smelled like roses. And I was like, oh my God. Well, as soon as we go in there, it's the convention center. So it's huge. So we go in there and find a seat, and I was just crying. I didn't know how or why, but I was just crying and crying. And then they start worshiping, and I was just crying. And then they start reading the scriptures, everything about healing from Deuteronomy all the way to the New Testament. And I was just listening and crying and crying. I was like, I couldn't stop. And I wanted more. Before, I couldn't stand church. I will be the last one and the first one to get out because I needed to be out of there. With this, I was like, oh my God, I want more. Whatever it is, I want more. And then we break for lunch. We went for lunch and the conversation was different. And then we came back. We wouldn't start fast enough for us to come back. So we came back. And then on the last session, they did offer the Holy Spirit. So I was like, what is that? You know, I want to know if it's something good, I want it. So I told Joseph, come on, let's go. Because they said, okay, raise your hand and then come to the front. And then I was like, I want it. And Joseph was like, no, no. And I was like, oh, no. He was like, it's far. And I'm like, oh, no, let's go. So anyway, so we made our way to the front. And then they pair us with a minister, with a pastor. And then the pastor, you know, takes you to the back. And then they explain what it is that you're going to receive and how it's by faith. And you ask and you receive. So I'm so nervous. I felt like I was put on the spot. I was like, oh, what if it doesn't happen? You know, what is supposed to happen? I don't know. What if I don't get it? You know, everybody's here. So then the minister says, okay, just close your eyes and, you know, raise your hands. So she's in front of me, so I'm with my eyes closed like this, and then I'm just like, all these thoughts, you know, are coming to my mind, and then I'm trying, but I'm like nervous, and then she's like, no, no, just, you know, concentrate in God, and I was like, okay, how do you do that, you know, how do you concentrate in God, and then she's like, okay, so just think about everything that is good and everything that God has done for you. Just start worshiping Him. You just start thinking about Him. So there I am. And then I start hearing, you know, everybody else, because she said, it's by faith that you're going to receive, and the evidence is that you're going to speak in tongues. So I'm like, okay, so then I'm trying, okay, I'm trying. And then I start hearing everybody breaking out, you know, speaking in tongues, and I'm like, okay, what's wrong with me, you know? And then I'm like, okay, forget it. So just concentrate. So then I'm again, you know, like this, and then I just start thinking about God and how good He is. And I was just thanking Him. I was just with my eyes closed and I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. And I was just thinking about that. And during that, in my mind, I was transported from this place to another place. I opened my eyes in my transporting, and it was a theater, a movie theater, and it was empty. There was nobody in there. It was empty, and I'm right there at the door. So I see the screen is lit up, and there's a word on the screen. And then I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to make sense of it, but it didn't make any sense to my mind. You know, there was no vowels. It was just letters. It was H, W, Y, you know, C. So I was like, what is that? And I'm trying to sound it out, but I couldn't. I couldn't sound that out. But then finally, you know, after, you know, a little while that I was staring at it, then I was able to sound it out. And then the lady says, oh, you got it, you got it, you got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then I wake up, people, I was so sweaty. I was like, you know, about to pass out. I'm like shaking, and then I'm like, okay. But, you know, I wasn't scared because your spirit can recognize the Spirit of God. So, you know, I was like, okay. And then she's like, sit down, sit down. And then I sit and I'm like this. And then, you know, during that time that I couldn't sound out the word, and listen to me, beloved, the lady said, are you in sin? And then I was like, oh, no, I was just concentrating on sounding the word. So then, you know, she says that. And then, you know, I didn't think of it, but, you know, but then God gave me the grace and I was able to speak it out. So I believe I received, and it, yes, it did sound gibberish to my mind. And I was like, you know, but I didn't question it. It's by faith. So I said, you know what? I got it. And thank you. I got it. So anyway, so we get out of there, you know, me all sweaty and crying. And then we get together, we get out. And then I told Joseph, I said, look, Joseph, I don't know what I got, but whatever it is, I don't want it to leave me. I don't want to be away. I want more. So I said, so if I understand, you know, I got to live my life right. And I understand if you don't want to get married, that's fine. You go your way and I go mine. You know, at that point I was like, I'm going to follow this. But thankfully, you know, he did say, no, you know what? Yeah, let's get married. So anyway, so we were trying to get out of sin and be married. But guess what? There was no one that believed that we wanted to get married. And because we wanted to serve God. No, they thought we were crazy and they didn't want to get us married. So we're like, okay, so, you know, they want us to put us to these classes and see, you know, in their own mind if we're qualified. And I'm like, people, if I become a preacher, you know what, you want to get married, you just call me. I'll marry you because my job, you know, is to get you out of sin and then God deals with you. So, yeah, we found finally a preacher that was crazy enough and he said, yeah, I'll marry you. He was marrying everybody left and right. And I'm like, yeah, you know, now I have a good reason why I want to be married. You know, before I was divorced and I married because I wanted a wedding. And I got a wedding. And then after that, a divorce. But with Joseph, I was like, you know, this is the right reason. If you want to serve God, you know, yeah, what better reason than that, you know? So anyway, so we came back from that conference full of the Holy Spirit. And yes, we went, you know, we started sounding crazy to everybody, especially our close family, you know, our children, because they saw us living this worldly life. And now we're all about Jesus. And I wanted to tell everybody and I wanted everybody to get Jesus. And I didn't care. You know, I went to the grocery store and I talked to you about Jesus. So anyways, I get excited because the Lord is good. So anyways, hold on, just so then we came back from the conference and then we believed that we had received everything. And we said, you know what? We're going to live our life right. And we believe you're healed. We were believing on that. We came that believing. But see, there was no evidence. He didn't feel different. He didn't look different. But we knew, we believe. We believe in our heart that he was healed. So you want
to
say?
Yeah, so I wanted to add is that, okay. So when we were going, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that I could hear Angelica and I could hear the lady guiding her. But for me, there was a senior pastor and he was praying with me. And all of a sudden I just started speaking in tongues. And he goes, there you go. I said, oh, I've been doing it all along. I never realized that all this time I was praying in the spirit. Sometimes when I was in church, I remember there's times in church that something would just erupt and it just come out. I'm like, what is that? Did anybody hear me? I'm like, I don't even know why that would come out, you know?
Yeah, but so. He, let me interrupt. But here's the thing. See, I didn't know he even carried a Bible. I didn't even know he was saved because he got saved when he was younger, but then he strayed away. And when I met him, I did not know he was Christian and let alone he carried a Bible. So then this was his rebirth. And then I got born again because let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is the power that gives you the ability to change your life. Because before then, we were going to church, and every time they offered Jesus, they were like, who wants Jesus? Who needs more Jesus? And there I am, me. I want more Jesus. And I will say the prayer, you know, every single word, and then open my eyes, and there was no transformation. There was no desire to know God. There was no desire even to follow or anything. You know, I was just saying, I'd be like, yeah, I said it. I got more Jesus. And then, you know, we will leave and live our life, you know, like everybody else. So anyway, so when we got the Holy Spirit, then that gave me the power and the ability to change. You know, it was like the veil is torn now. I can see the glory of God and the fullness of God. And I wanted to follow that, you know, and Joseph, he felt the same desire. So we said, okay, we're going to stand in faith and we're going to do this. And that's when we started watching more Christian channels and Kenneth Copeland, of course. And then that's when we started doing communion and laying on the hands and everything that it explains, right? So before we went to MD Anderson again, he said, you know what? I'm going to do all the testing here before we go to MD Anderson. So that way I'm prepared and I have everything. And I said, okay, so remember, we already had the first report that said he had aggressive cancer, stage 4. And the doctor believed that it was all over his vital organs and he was not gonna make it. So anyway, so then we went and we were already going by faith. So we went there and it didn't matter what the report was gonna come out, we were already believing. So anyway, so we go and he does the PET scan. The PET scan is like a little dye that they give you, and then they put you in this machine and whatever lights up like the Christmas tree, then that's where the cancer is. So anyway, so he goes and gets that and an MRI and all that things. So then we get the report, and then it didn't matter what the report said. It only mattered what God's report said. And Isaiah 53 starts by saying, who will believe this report? See, it doesn't say who will believe the doctor's report. No, it says who will believe God's report.
So with her, what she just said, why this is essential is because, you know, you're going to be, if you're ever getting this situation, you're going to come to those crossroads where you have to decide what you're going to believe. And the thing is, there's a doctor's report, and, you know, and you don't have, you may not have physical evidence, but he is going by what his reports say. Whereas God's word, you know, again, it's by faith. So when we got that baptism, so they say the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. But I'm going to tell you, there's power. The evidence for me is power, because you can speak in tongues and not have any power. But when we were done praying and we were speaking in tongues, there was power, man. It was like an immense amount of faith that we were just immersed in. We're immersed in it. So we went, you know, so when we go home that night, we're talking like, wow, I feel like different. And she said, I feel different. And I said, I know, let's get our word, start reading the Bible, you know? So it was like, at least for 3 solid days, man, we're just feel endowed with the Holy Spirit. And but I do remember the pastor saying that you're gonna have to exercise praying in the spirit. Mm-hmm. It's like lifting weights. You have to exercise it. So like even that night, my dreams were changed. And I didn't have these negative dreams. I had positive dreams. I dreamed that the enemy, these demons were coming at me, and I said, Jesus, and they were exploding. And I said, Jesus, and they were like flying around trying to circle me. And I'm like, Jesus, they just disintegrated like these blue bricks. Of faith just came out and disintegrated them. I'm like, man, this is awesome. I've been missing out on something big, yes. Right? Trying to force faith when I didn't have to. The Holy Spirit brought faith. So there's a difference in that. There's definitely a difference from reading about faith to it just experiencing this faith that I didn't have to muster up in my own. It wasn't my own effort. So there was that. But then when we started getting into, you know, because even the man that prayed with me said that you're healed. And I'm like, okay. It's just, I said, okay, because I'm like, well, I don't feel any different. You know, I feel like as far as sickness, I didn't feel sick. I never, so I'm like, I'm just going to rebuke it. I denounce it. I rebuke it. And when we went from there, I just made a habit of just quoting Isaiah 53:5, and that by his stripes I'm healed. At some point in that journey, though, studying the word, asking God, I asked him, I said, Lord, you know, if you teach me to heal, if you heal me and you teach me how to heal, I will pray for other people. Because I was like at this crossroads, I recognized that who was going to call for help, you know? I didn't know anyone. I knew Christians, but I didn't know anyone that would pray for my healing. I'm like, it's amazing how we carry this Bible, we go to church, but a lot of us are not taught how to pray for the sick. You know, I didn't know anybody that would pray for me, much less knew how to pray or I could learn from. And that was why we started really digging in. We want to find out these miracles were real, man. Like, and God showed up.
Yeah, because remember, in my Catholic religion, you know, the old Angelica, they always said that people don't get healed, first of all. And they always said, well, if it's God's will, and then everybody dies. So it's like, okay, God wants to kill everybody then, you know? So anyway, so then, you know, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was like, oh my God, no, now I can see. I can actually see. You know, before then, every time I said the prayer, you know, it did not make me give up my idols. You know, I still believe in the Virgin Mary, and I still believe, you know, in all those saints that they have to intercede for me because I'm so worthless that God would not even look at me. You know, it was all a distortion, a deception, and I was blinded. But then God opened my eyes, and I was like, no, now I can go directly to him. And then his love, you know, that dwells in you, and the understanding that he gives you. So anyways, going back to the report. So we went, and we were going already by faith. So we get all the reports, and then they give you a summary. So I open it up, and guess what? We have it. It said that there was no cancer. And clearly, as I'm telling you, it said, there is no cancer. It's only scar tissue. So we were already, you know, believing before we even saw. We were already thinking, yeah, it's done. And then during that time, yes, Joseph did promise God. He said, if you heal me, I will teach others. Because there is no teaching. I didn't know God healed. You know, when you hear sickness, you magnify. You know, when I heard cancer, I saw like, you know, this big boulder that is crushing you. But when I saw that, you know, that love of God and knowing that he wants you well, he wants you healed, you know, that he gave Jesus. And, you know, as a Catholic, we watch, you know, during Lent, we always watch that movie. You know, it's not all biblical, but we do see Jesus, you know, getting whipped. And just thinking, you know, that he endured that for me. Okay, so you got to think about that. So anyways, I'm going off. But we got the report and we already had it. So we make our way to the appointment in MD Anderson. And we come to the doctor and we tell him, okay, we already have, you know, the summary. We have the MRI and we have all of this. And he looks at it just like a glance, and then he discarded. And then he said, well, I don't believe in this report. He said, I want you to have another one, another PET scan and another MRI right here in my hospital. And we're like, but why? And he was like, I want another one. And we're like, okay. So we had the first one that it said he had aggressive cancer. And then we had the other one that it said it was only scar tissue. But the doctor did not believe in the second one. He only believed in the first one. So we go and have all the PET scans and the MRIs and everything. We waited. It was an all-day thing. So then we come back up with the doctor. And the doctor looks at it. And then again, he says, well, I don't believe it. He said, we still need to have surgery. And then I was like, why? Why are you going to have surgery? And then he asked, what are you going to find? And he said, well, we might find nothing, but it's just to make sure. And then he was like, wait a minute. So you already talk about cutting me like in an L shape over here, removing half of my bone, and then removing half of the tongue and all the tissue under it that he's going to have a tracheotomy and then learn how to speak, learn how to swallow, and all of that stuff just for you to make sure. And then, you know, he kept going that, yes, we need to. And then I was like, okay, maybe I don't understand what the report says, but what does it say? What does it say right here? And then he says, there's no cancer. And I'm like, and then he's like, You can call it a miracle if you want, but we still need to do surgery. And I was like, oh, okay. You know what? And before Christ, I thought doctors knew better and doctors were only looking out for you and getting you well. But, you know, I met Jesus and I'm like, no, Jesus really doesn't want me well. And he does not cover, you know, he's not asking for money and he's not asking for anything. He just wants you to be healed. So anyway, so we got out of there and we're like, okay, so what are we going to do now? Right, Joseph?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm done with that. You know, I'm moving on because God already healed me. I will add this one thing. I want to say that during that time that I was quoting Isaiah 53:5, by stripes we're healed, I heard in my heart this these words saying, he said, I heard his words that said, you will live and not die and be a testimony for the Lord. And I started repeating that. I said that for a while. I said it for several months while we're going through this process. And one day I was sitting at my computer. I said, I'm going to look this up. I'm going to Google it and see what comes up. It was a scripture. It's Psalms 118:17. And I'm like, I never read that scripture in my life. I had never read it in my life. And so I know I heard the Holy Spirit speak. That's my evidence. That was my evidence, right? That I heard the Holy Spirit and he confirmed it with his word. So that's another thing. God always confirms his word. You know, people have experiences and they have, you know, encounters, but man, I've always known the Holy Spirit to confirm his word every time. Now you might say different, but for me, that's how I know God's true, because he does actions that I can read about in his word. So that's my testimony.
Yes. And you know, it says that we overcome by the blood and the power of our testimony. So this is why we're testifying, because people need to know. People need to know that God is alive and God is still healing. God is still saving. God is still redeeming. So, you know, our life changed. When God came in, you know, he cleaned the house. All that sin and the drinking, you know, he would still pour his crown royal on the rocks. And he would just look at it. He couldn't drink it. After that we came, you know, they pray for addictions and drinking and blood pressure and cancer, of course, and all these sicknesses, you know. So he will pour his glass and then it will just spill because of the ice. And then one day I told him, I said, Joseph, you notice that you don't drink that no more? But he was still pouring it and looking at it. And he said, yeah. And then he did the unthinkable, you know, the unthinkable to the normal people. He poured it down the sink. A new bottle and half of a bottle, because we always kept stuck. So he poured it out and I was like, oh my goodness, look at this. This is a testimony, you know, for our children, because they saw us drinking every night. They saw, you know, how that was normal. And then for them to start seeing those changes, you know, for them it was like, well, maybe they are crazy, but they're crazy for Jesus now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm that crazy freak, you know, like I love Jesus. So in our ministry, you know, after that, Joseph said, you know what? Yes, I'm going to be teaching. So our grocery shopping got a little longer because we went to the store and he was looking for the ones that were oppressed and, you know, laying hands and doing this and doing that. And this is what we do. But we want everybody to come to Christ and realize that that's a better place to be, because even though, you know, you might be suffering through sickness or any kind of oppression, you know, being in the presence of God gives you that peace and that power that you need to break those walls. And it gives you a peace that the world does not understand, because the world sees you, how come you're so peaceful when you're being diagnosed with cancer? And he's like, you know what? He made that promise. He said, I'm going to pray for the sick. And he even said, but if God doesn't heal me, I will still live this earth believing.
Amen. Yep.
So that's the key right there, beloved, that you got to take it into your heart and have that face to face with Jesus and with your Father God and said, you know what? It doesn't matter the circumstance. I know where I'm going and I know I'm healed. whether it manifests or not, I'm going to be before you in heaven looking at you and say, I believed. I believed, and it didn't matter the consequences. The doctors, you know, yeah, this was in 2016, and they said he was going to be gone, you know, within a month because everything was infected. Well, here's proof that no, God has the last word, and God has the first report that it says that by his stripes, you're healed. So, you want to say anything else, Jessica?
Yeah, so that was key. I mean, I think that was key is that no matter if I live or die, doesn't matter. I'm still going to, even if I leave this earth, I'm still believing. I'm still believing that God's healed me. I mean, it's not going to change me. It's not going to change me no matter what doctor says, somebody says, you know, body says, doesn't matter. It's a made up mind. It's a made up mind that God's word is true, is real, and I'm not gonna change it for nothing. So, I do believe that the Holy Spirit has to get all the credit there because I didn't even know how to build faith. All I know is that God did something, and I don't believe that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost once. I believe you can ask for it as many times as you need, and the Holy Spirit will come and immerse you again in His love, and propel your faith. I think we make error when we think that, you know, it's a one-time experience and we don't never need to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Same as salvation, you know. I don't know how many times the Lord has saved me. He saved me a lot of times. Like Angelica said, she didn't even know I was a Christian. But the thing is, I was in a part of my life where it's not that I didn't believe, but I was had just gone through a divorce and I was didn't trust people to tell them that I believed in Christ, nor was I prepared to walk there just yet. I mean, I was still sorting out all the things that were wrong. So it's the shaking, the being told that I had cancer was a wake up call. The way that I was told, the way that the experiences I had with people, coming to see me on my deathbed, so to speak, you know, all that had a part. Because even when I was younger, I do recall there was people that God would send and they would prophesy and they would tell me that God had this great ministry and God was going to do certain things in my life. And I was like, it was happening so much, random times, different people, different churches, different places. And I was like, Lord, okay, I got it. You keep telling me this. I mean, and I feel bad for like getting to that point where I was like asking God to stop telling me, but I realized now that he was sowing it so deep in my heart because he knew there was going to be a day that I'd be shaken and I would need that word. And those words work. So for every prophet, for every guy that's out there not sure about giving a prophecy, you should do it because you never know.
Yes, those are seeds that you're sparingly throwing out there. And the heart is the soil. So you put the seed right there, it gets planted. And yeah, you never know when it's gonna sprout, but when it does, it's powerful. And God counts that as righteousness on your behalf. And this is, you know, a testimony really, because the grace of God is so amazing. You know, we didn't do anything beforehand to deserve it. We were trying to go to church, but our mind was not there. Our heart was not there. We're not looking for God. This is, you know, to tell you that God redeems everything. And God gives you that amazing grace that restores everything. And that's what happened to us. We received the Holy Spirit and we decided to follow. And it is an everyday decision. Every day when you wake up, you have to ask yourself, am I going to follow Jesus today? Or am I going to follow something else? And it's a daily decision. It's something that we have to meditate on. And the Holy Spirit as well. You want the power? You want to see? Ask God. God, I want the Holy Spirit. I want to see. I want to see more than what I see with these eyes. You know, I see more when I close my eyes than when I have them open. That's the position that you have to place yourself, but it takes God and a willing heart. And that's where we were, you know, all those times. I guess God was preparing our heart to ask and cry out, because we were at the point that there was no one there. You know, there was no placebo. There was no medicine that he can take and everything was going to be well, you know. So that was the breaking point for us to know that, okay, only God can do this. And we're going to stand in faith and we're going to encounter whatever it is. But we have that peace that we know that everything's well. And it's been since 2016, we gave our life, we rededicated, and we're now, you know, doing this ministry, this work. And just to tell you that we were ordinary people, but God brings you to extraordinary people, but it's through His power and through His love. So I invite all of you to seek Him and seek the truth, because the truth will set you free.
Oh, by the way, our website, seektruth.org.
So. Yes, because we're seeking the truth. And who is truth? Jesus.
The Holy Spirit and truth.
Yeah.
Spirit and truth, yep. So, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I hope I didn't bore you with everything. I have so much more to say. But, you know, for the sake of time, we're just going to keep it short. But if you're looking, you know, how to connect, you know, with God, we're always available, because our mission is to set the captives free and to find the one. We believe that the one is not sitting at the church. The one is out there suffering and needing Jesus. The ones were us. And it would have been awesome if somebody would have reached out to us and said, you know what, God loves you and God wants to do something good with you. But, you know, if you're a Christian, I encourage you to talk to someone about Jesus, because you never know where that person is. And you need to give what God gave you. You got to tell the good news. And these are good news, that God loves you and He wants you well. Thank you for listening.
Amen.
Amen.